Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
First thing I said when I walked in was, oh my god, I'm in Love Actually.
What is it? Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Bronte and Duty joining Saprin and I, and we are so excited to have you guys back on the sofa. How are you doing?
Yeah, you're so good. Yeah.
It's good to
why
be back.
Why did that sound sarcastic?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why that sounded so sarcastic.
Bronte, you're bringing the colour this morning.
I am. I thought I'm blending in with the sofa.
Oh, I love it. And you're both wearing stripes.
I know.
We're feeling springy here.
Yeah. Do you know what? We've got to do it. It's grey outside.
Yeah. I mean, should we just go through our outfits now that we're talking about it?
Let's do it. So, these are from Copenhagen. Yeah. Mads Nygaard.
Okay. So I was going to be like, yeah.
They like all the Danish girlies wear them. So. And when I went to Copenhagen, I was like, that colour. Primark.
I've seen this on TikTok.
Is this the same as the grey?
It's the one. Cotton on Adidas.
Love it. And I love the little pink bows you've got on your hair as well.
I can't go out without bows at the moment. It just adds to the outfit.
Like, and your nails, we were talking about a second ago. They look so sick. Where'd you get them done?
Absolute Joy Spa in Clapham Junction.
Love that.
They're great.
They're really nice. For the people listening, do you want to
So they're kind of, I was about to say they look like splashes of water, but they're like blue
flowers.
With like a white base, like a cloudy, milky base.
Lovely.
Really lovely. Duty, what are you wearing today?
I am wearing a Picante like knit, which I love. It's like the first thing I bought from them and I'm literally obsessed with it. I've just got a really oversized ASOS tee underneath. My trousers are like a striped, I think they're men's pajamas from H&M. And then I have the Adidas trainers on as well, the brown with like the little yellow stripes that I'm obsessed with.
Love those. So nice. And they're linen. They look so comfy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I mean that linen. Yeah.
So nice. Sap, what are you wearing today?
This is not actually part of the outfit. I'm just freezing. But I'm wearing... I'm wearing this Damson Madder... Is it a shirt? I guess it is a shirt. Yeah. It's like a cross-stitch, really dark denim shirt with their little logo on it. How sweet is that?
Yeah, that's really cute. A little pop of red.
Yeah. And then these are just Zara tailored trousers and my Salomons because it's really wet and gross outside. So got to wear the Salomons. Chase, what are you wearing?
I've got my COS tailored trousers on, a cotton-on bomber, just a basic Zara tee, and my Duke and Dexter's, which I'm wearing to absolute death. But Bronte, we saw you in Copenhagen. What are your recs? I feel like it's hot on everyone's travel list this year.
It is, isn't it? I feel like everyone's there. I went once in December, freezing, -6, snowing.
No, thank you.
And then went back a couple of weeks ago, still freezing, rain, great.
Were you there for Fashion Week?
No, just after.
Okay.
But it's just so lovely. Like, I can't wait to go back in summer for the third time. But I feel like I need to experience summer.
Me too.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Like, colourful streets. It's like a very outdoorsy place, although I just go for the shopping. Like, the shopping is incredible.
No, we need to go for the weekend.
I know.
Just 24 hours.
It's really cheap. And like, the flights are really cheap in April at the moment. I'm considering
going
in
April. And you
must stay
in, I don't know about you guys, but we stayed in Villa Copenhagen. So, such good value. And the pastries they have downstairs in the morning are amazing.
I would say Apotek 57 for breakfast.
Yes.
Oh my god, I want to go so badly.
Like the breakfast plate.
Get there early though. Yeah, get there early.
Yeah. What is like a Copenhagen food? Like, what's like a traditional?
Well, pastries. Also, a boiled eggs, and which I know is a bit rogue for some people, but I love boiled eggs.
Like dippy eggs.
Like dippy eggs with rye bread, nice cheese.
Or like salmon and stuff.
Whipped butter, exactly.
Like a breakfast plate, and they kind of have it very simple. It's very, like, easy. Yeah.
It's amazing. Bottega barley for dinner. That was so good. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got to go to the Ghani outlet store. I mean, it's just amazing.
The 50% off Ghani.
Oh my god.
Isn't Hay there as well?
Hay is there.
Yeah. Hay House. Gorgeous.
But you've got to go. I think you've got to take girlfriends. If you're going there, I don't know.
This is the thing. Like, my boyfriend wants to go, and I was like, didn't think you'd be up for that, babe. Was kind of hoping to go with the girl.
Yeah. It's quite hard call it shopping.
Unless, no, your partner's up for that.
Yeah.
Which,
I would say boy. B-O-I-I. the clothes in there are...
I didn't go there.
Stunning, like wide leg, like lovely stripy trousers, big oversized jumpers, shirts, nice. Really nice.
And like pricing-wise, if you're going to Ghani and stuff, is it better?
It, do you know what? It's expensive out there. So if you can make your accommodation as cheap as possible and get as good value for your accommodation, then it, you know, leaves you a bit more room for spending money. But it is sort of like London.
Yeah.
I'd say slightly more expensive. Yeah.
I'd say if you're going with like a group though, like more than two, you can actually get Airbnbs for not that bad. Like if you're going for like groups of like four to six, which is obviously quite big, but I think the Airbnbs then are like quite good value. You can get them for like 100 per person.
And you are just splitting the bill between more people.
Yeah, yeah. It's just...
very true. But oh my god, Bronte, you've also been to Downing Street recently.
Yes,
we need to hear about this.
Firstly,
thank you.
Can you give us the whole lowdown from like when you got asked to the whole thing?
So, no, it's hilarious because the first thing I said when I walked in was, oh my god, I'm in Love Actually. And they literally looked at me like, yeah, that's the first thing she says as she walks into Thames Avenue.
But it literally looked, they didn't film it in there, but it was like based on it, obviously.
What is it?
Yeah, what is that song that he dances to?
What is it? It's because it's going to annoy me.
Jump.
Yeah, I was about to break
into
that.
Sketch we like walked past up the stairs, like the famous stairs with all like the prime ministers like on like hanging up with signed photos. And then we went past a door and they were like, this is the MP's office. And I was like,
okay.
Rishi,
you're right.
But yeah, they sent an email just being like, we want to invite you to 10 Downing Street. I was like, this is a joke. This is not real. I sent it to my manager, like, I think it's a joke. It's spam. And then, yeah, I had a meeting with them and then I got a formal invite. I had to walk in.
What was the theme? Because they had a few people, young, entrepreneurial. What was the...
So it was to do with like loneliness within 16 to 24 year olds. They did a study within the country and they found that it was the loneliest group, even like compared to like the older generation. They said that 16 to 24 year olds don't talk about being lonely and that they want to like home in on that and try and regulate it and like... do something to help it. Mm-hmm. And the like campaign that they've done is amazing. Like when they showed it to us, I was like, wow, like they've really like nailed it. And they had amazing people there. Like the people that I met were just incredible. And like, we all spoke in a, like a round table discussion about like loneliness and everything like that. And
so, and you spoke about, did you get to speak about Girls Who? And
yeah, cause it's like the whole, one of the whole reasons I started Girls Who. So to be there, like to talk about that was like amazing.
Yeah, it feels so fitting for you to be there.
Definitely. Aww. But the whole experience was just mad. I was like, I'm on a film set. Like this is amazing.
I mean, was that on your 2024 bucket?
Not at all.
Wasn't even on your mind.
Do you know what? I went past, I did like a Christmas lights open bus tour and I went past 10 Downing Street and I said to my boyfriend, like, I'd love to go in there. Like
did
I would
you?
Absolutely, I don't know how, but I just really would love to go in. Like, do they do tours? And I remember Googling like tours of 10 Downing Street. And then like that 2 months later, I get an email being like, we want to invite you. I was like, here we go. Thank you, I spoke that into existence.
Oh my god, did you meet the cat?
I met the cat. As soon as I walked in, guys. As soon as I walked in.
What an ongoing
My mum
question.
Was like, you need to find the cat. And I was like, okay, I'll find the cat. And he was sitting right there.
Oh,
you're not allowed to like stroke him or touch him, but he was just there. He's a bit grumpy.
Oh, fair. I mean, it is a cat.
And how is Girls Who? Can you give us a bit of an update? It's sort of growing tenfold.
Yes, we've got lots going on with Girls Who Travel. Mm. We've just launched a Japan trip and a Europe trip.
When?
So we've got Japan coming up in June, July and August. And then we've got Europe trip in August, but we're launching 2 more dates because it's got like a 250 wait list.
And Europe like, meaning like whereabouts?
So we're doing interrailing.
Fun.
Yes, so we're starting Budapest.
I did that when I was 18.
Yeah. Yeah. You did that. That's why I wanted to do it because I was like, do you know what? Like, I love interrailing and I loved like seeing Europe like that when I was younger. So yeah, we're doing Budapest, Lake Bled, Milan, Venice in Italy.
Wow.
Gorgeous. Yeah. So actually great. Perfect for the time you're going because sun and beautiful weather.
And also people are finishing like uni and like that's such a nice time
school,
for like.
And
also just
school,
a nice way to see Europe in like 10 days.
Mm.
So nice.
Oh my God, so great.
Oh, well
very
done.
Exciting.
Well, we're very proud. We're all watching from the sidelines. Like,
we are going to talk a little bit more about like careers and have a bit of a deep dive later on.
Yeah.
But should we get into the hot list for now?
Yes, there's lots been going on.
There is. Oh my God. So Duty, you actually sent this to us.
Oh yeah.
But there's this thing going on TikTok. I feel like we're a bit out of date with it. People already know about it. But there's this woman who's essentially going through like her entire breakup on TikTok and like there's like a 20-part series in depth
it's 52 parts.
Is it 52
parts 10 minutes apart?
No,
it's a working
10
day
apart.
It's an 8-hour working day.
Is it live? Is she
TikTok
live and direct from the breakup?
Like, she did it all live, she's just recording it and then just posting, but it's not like edited, so she's just speaking into the camera and then she's just
so
posting.
Can you give us like a synopsis?
Yeah, because I've only watched like one or two, so you
I wish I could, but I'm only on 8, so but I've heard like around 34-35. It's really mental.
It really kicks off, right?
But yeah, the thing is, you can't, obviously with the TikTok app, you obviously can't watch it in the background. Like when you're watching it, you have to really just sit and commit your time to it. You can't look at anything else. But effectively, I haven't got into anything that crazy yet. Like she's just kind of lost her first house that he just completely lied about. But she's basically been married to this absolute
dickhead.
Yeah, pathological liar.
And it's just therapy for her.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess she's like letting it all out.
Is pushing long form videos.
Yeah,
she's driving.
True. Yeah, no, she is. I remember when I went back on like the app, she was saying that she's like finally been able to go to, I think it's like London and Paris, because obviously these videos have done so well.
She's
American,
getting
like she is. Right, okay. So she's obviously getting like commission, I guess, per like video. They've got millions and millions of views. So she's like, oh, I've finally been able to go to like London or Paris. I've been on my bucket list for ages, and I was like, good for you.
Yeah, turning a negative into a positive. We love that.
But she's a really good storyteller.
Yeah,
for me,
she goes into a lot of detail.
I love detail.
I think you'd be very good at this storytelling.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't think I have anything that interesting to share, but I could sell it maybe. Yeah. I could sell it.
I feel like you don't speak enough on your channels.
Yeah.
Like to the camera.
I
think you
need
to.
I do sometimes think that. Maybe I'll try. Yeah. Sometimes I get shy. I did try
shy.
Yeah, but I get shy when I'm by myself. Like, yeah,
I did something
the other day where it was just like, it's going to come out soon, but I did like a vlog like around London, like a big walking vlog.
Cool.
And I was trying to talk a bit more and I went by myself and it was the first time I'd done something fully by myself. And I was a bit like, so guys,
but there's that new vlogging camera that's like tiny and everyone's using it to like disguise vlogs.
It's very cool.
It's like this big. Really
cool.
I met someone at the weekend who had it. It's brilliant. And the export is so quick.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
If you don't want like to get the big old camera with
one,
it's quite nice.
It's tiny. I didn't realize. Because when she was, Liv's got it, she brought it to an event, but she was calling it like a gimbal. I pictured it as, you know, the one that you actually attach your thing onto. I didn't realise the actual camera was that tiny. And you can set it to, like, track you a little bit.
Yes, it'll
move with you, which is ideal, like, when you're by yourself. So, I mean, that's quite the investment after me filming one video. But, like,
I think it'd be good for your travels because you could fix it onto things.
Same.
But, yeah, I've seen people use it. People sort of do, like, cycling content.
Okay.
And they put it
love that.
And then so when they move the bike, it goes with them.
That's maybe for your next run club.
yeah, that's a good idea.
You need to tell us how it went.
Yeah,
so launched Shuffle Club at the weekend. It was such a lovely turnout. There was, like, 50 girls and guys.
Oh, I love that.
Really nice mix. Sat, you came down for coffee at
the
end.
Yeah, I did.
Let's confirm.
I
need
to do the run.
Next one. But, you know what? I think it's run clubs. Obviously, there are so many. You have you do one, right?
I did one off for International Women's Day. I thought, come on, let's give it a go.
Yes, well, we need to touch on that as well because the turnout was insane. For that,
it was amazing.
But I guess it's just providing a run club where people don't feel any pressure to run a certain pace. I think running has become such a trend, such a cult online.
Definitely.
And you know, there's some incredible fitness creators out there that are really inspiring people. But also, I think people just want to run and not feel a pressure to run at our pace. So
what pace did you do?
We just did a very easy shuffle pace.
Nice.
But I think for the next one we're going to do some split up the pace groups as well, so that'll be fun.
Just a nice way to meet people as well.
Exactly. And I think that's what, you know, most people stayed longer for the coffee at the end. I think just to meet like-minded people. And so many girls came on their own, which was so lovely.
Aww.
And it's such a great way to meet new people. But you had the Pure Sport International Women's Day
run club
on Friday that you hosted.
Yes. So there was four like female communities that all like joined together with Pure Sport.
So you had Gals Who,
The Re Club, Millie
G-Fit,
Celine, she does like the slow running, the slow run club, and then Mindful Strides.
Yes.
And it was just so lovely. We all kind of just came together and brought all of our communities together, and 1,000 girls turned up.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw the video.
And it was in the dark. You all had pink on.
Yeah, pink socks. It was really lovely. Because like, I'm not a runner by any means. Like, I haven't run a marathon. I haven't run a half marathon. I don't, like, go out and think, right, I'm going to get this pace. Like, I just enjoy running.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just go out to clear my head or just to, like, move my body. So that's kind of what I wanted to be. I was like, to Pure Sport, if Gals Who are going to get involved, if I'm going to come to the run club, it has to be like a really lovely, like safe open space for girls that can even walk if they want. Like, it's just to like chat and make friends and feel like, you know, I've just done a 5K on a Friday evening. Like, that was really
enjoyable. But how empowering, running through the streets of London with 1,000 girls.
Oh my God, it was so good. And we were like screaming, singing along, like, woo! And everyone was like filming. I was going past and screaming. And like, it was so scenic, going past London Eye.
Yeah,
and like, it was amazing. Honestly, it was such a lovely evening. And like, I didn't even realise I was running.
So cool.
I was talking to so many people. I finished and I was like, oh, lovely, she's done a 6K.
Oh, that's
so great.
Sweet.
What else have we had on the hot list recently? Who saw Greg James do a life swap for the bridge?
I haven't seen this, but
He's so great.
Yeah. So Greg James obviously works for BBC, and he, for the Brits, swapped with a little, it's a couple, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're one of his, they're regulars on his breakfast show, so they call up regularly. So they've obviously built a relationship over however many months. And that was it. They got engaged. They called in to say, we just got engaged. Greg James was like, right, for your engagement present, I'm going to swap lives with you. You can have my two Brits tickets and I'll look after your daughter.
Yeah.
So he babysat the daughter, did a carousel on TikTok being like, they were doing colouring in. They went to the park.
So sweet.
Whilst this couple were having the time of their lives at the Brits. Oh,
that's so sweet. So adorable.
I love that.
I know. How wholesome. Who would you life swap with?
Oh, I don't know.
Like a celeb or someone.
Do you know what? I think we should do it with one of our LG readers.
That'd be nice.
To come on the pod.
Yeah, that'd be such a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
I love that.
And then we go to their job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they spend a day in the office.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If you'd like to do that, let us know.
Yeah, make it happen. That'd be so fun. Oh my God, I hope we get someone who's like a zookeeper or something. I'd love to. I'd love to go to the zoo.
No, you'd like someone that works at Bassie Dogs and Cats.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you'd love that.
Yes.
Or like a dog walker.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
Do you know but it'd be really funny if maybe you got like a PT or something.
Oh, fucking hell.
A ski and
shoe. I'd have to opt
out. I'd have to opt out. Yeah, that would be fun.
Oh, something else I saw was, do you guys see Ariana Grande's new music video? So she's obviously, she's dropped her album, but she released a music video for one of her singles, which is called We Can't Be Friends. And it honestly, like broke my heart.
Really?
I think it's all about that you could interpret it in loads of different ways, but the music video idea was basically, it's a bit like Don't Worry Darling, where you like, so you like plug in and they basically go through your memories with like your loved one and they like delete the memories. So she relives them all and they like delete them in your mind. Then when you leave, you're like no longer upset about it, but it's really upset.
So
and then
hypnotism.
Like
very
yeah,
Black
kind
Mirror.
Of. It's very Black Mirror. Yeah. The way it's shot, everything was so sick. But then there was like the man, the love interest was Evan Peters from, well, he's in loads of stuff, but like American Horror Story. And didn't he play Dahmer?
Dahmer, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I love him. But yeah, it was just, it was
I need to watch
cute
that.
Music
when we
too.
Finish this, I'll get it up.
But the song itself is really good as well. I think it's just all about, obviously, she's gone through this huge like divorce and everything. So
God,
I think
I can't
it's a bit of
they divorced.
That.
I know. It's still to this day, I'm just like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm excited for? To see her in Wicked, you know,
yes.
The film.
Yes, so excited.
It's coming out.
When's that coming out?
Soon.
It's coming out
guys,
this year.
Yeah.
I love Wicked.
I
would
love
to do a group
so
chat
much.
Cinema.
Yeah.
I love Wicked.
Although, did you hear, okay, this might be too much, but there's been like rat infestations in London cinemas.
No.
And people are saying that they've gone to go and grab their popcorn.
No.
And there's
no,
a rat
no.
just nibbling. Or like they felt something coming up and they thought it was 4D. And it's the rat coming up. No, honestly, like Southwest London cinemas, guys.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I can't go.
What do we think about going to the cinema on our own?
Oh, absolutely.
I've been really tempted. Been really tempted this year.
I've done it.
It's
I've done it a few
more
times.
Yes. And I love it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I went to the cinema on Saturday night, and I actually thought like. We're not talking. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I could have easily
worst
come here
day
on
ever.
My own.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I could have just gone on my own.
Yeah. I'd go to the cinema by myself. I think that's a perfect like first step into like a solo date night.
Yeah. Agreed.
Go in your pajamas.
Yeah.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I always take a hot chocolate in
oh,
the floor.
So nice.
Ooh. The other thing, which I'm sure loads of you have seen, is the Ambani wedding, which if you guys don't know who that is, it's like one of the richest families. I want to say in India, but actually I think it's even bigger than that. They are just extremely rich. But they're
aren't they worth like 160 billion?
Oh, something
like
that. Mad. Like crazy,
wow.
Crazy money. But so the son has just gotten married, and obviously their wedding was happening. Actually, it's not even the wedding yet, it's like the pre-wedding.
The pre-party.
Which obviously, as Indians, we have very long wedding ceremonies, but this is like next level.
On average, how long are the Indian wedding ceremonies?
It really ranges, and it depends on like religion and what you're doing, but like probably over like 2 weekends.
Wow, okay.
Like so minimum,
yeah.
I'd say.
Wow.
Because you have like the day before, or like 2 days before, then the day before, and the actual wedding, and then something after.
Okay.
So like maybe 4 days.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was like insane levels. But like to show you how rich they are, they had Rihanna at the pre-wedding performance ceremony.
And
situation.
They paid her $6 million.
Yeah.
6.
Oh, was it 6? Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was 6 or 9, but it's
but
just
didn't
mental.
They get the wife's name wrong? She got the wife's name wrong.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't see
wife.
That.
And they were saying, you
refund.
Know, Rihanna, you've not performed for a decade. You've been paid $6.5 million, and you didn't even get the
you
wife's name right.
I'd ask for a refund.
And that's what they were saying. They were like, it was a bit disappointing.
Oh, shame. I mean, if you saw the performance
was
pretty good.
Was it good?
She did it.
Okay.
Yeah, she was
good. And apparently the I can't remember what airport they were all flying into, but normally there's only like 12 flights a day. They had to bring in 150 flights because of the amount of guests that were coming to this wedding.
Oh my gosh. This is the sort of thing, it's like everyone in India, like who was famous in Bollywood. The entire Bollywood, like, wow. actors yeah. guild, I want to say, was there. Like,
they
genuinely.
Had Bill Gates, they had...
Yeah, they had Mark Zuckerberg, yeah. everyone. That's how, like, well, it's
that
a big
is crazy.
Deal.
Riri at your pre-ceremony, I mean, that would be...
Someone else was there as well. Akon was
oh,
also
my
there.
God, no. I can't express how devastated I am that I didn't get Akon tickets.
Really? Like, oh, shit.
It actually makes me sad.
Who would be your dream wedding guest performer if you had an artist at your wedding?
Oh, I don't know. Well, now it's quite distracting because now all I'm thinking is Akon.
Yeah.
But he's just... I actually think I DM'd him once when I was pissed. Yeah, like...
Did he reply?
No, of course he didn't. I could be there right now if he just checked your DMs.
Remind me one of his songs.
Oh, don't be so
smack
silly.
That. Yeah, oh, yeah. I love the most. Smack that. Give
you
me
go
some
through
more,
that disco would yeah. You'd love it. You would love it. It's basically like... me at uni.
Yeah.
Has he got any new ones out recently?
No, he doesn't need them.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he might. Sorry, he might actually have new ones out.
That we used to, I just used to watch the music
video.
Convict. Music.
Yeah.
I see you running down in a bunker.
That is uni. That's yeah, like pre-drinks. That's so good.
Who would be your, mine would be Adele at my wedding.
Oh, oh nice. Wow, that would be, that's first romantic. Dance. Yeah. That's like a John Legend vibe.
I don't think I'd want.
Yeah.
Would like, you? Everyone dance to.
That'd be nice. But like, I want like more of a party person.
Yeah. Do you know who I booked tickets to, which I now can't go? Tate McRae.
Oh,
what, you can't
I
go.
We saw her at the bridge.
She was.
She was. Because oh, I was. Yeah. I booked them and I was like, yeah, I can't wait. Oh my God, I'm going to go finally see her. And then I'm in LA. I'm in a car.
Oh, I can't go.
I'll probably see someone else.
Yeah, well,
she was the one we, at the Brits. We were kind of like both jaws wide open. She is so hot.
So hot.
She was giving Britney, wasn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she was.
Her,
she's just a very good dancer. And a lot of people take the piss out of her because she sings like two words out of the song. But those two words she sings,
yeah,
they're
she nails.
On par. Like they're on, like in key. They're like, oh, she just sounds great.
And like, you wow. know when they're just like moving around so yeah. much, the hair gets yeah. stuck to the lips and it just looks so hot.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's younger than us.
She's like 22, 3
so
maybe.
So cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
The new film that's coming out that's based on a Harry Styles
fan fiction. Yeah.
Have you guys heard of this?
No.
The trailer looks so good.
So it's called The Idea of You. It's with Anne Hathaway.
So it's supposedly based on a Harry Styles fan fiction novel where Anne Hathaway plays a mother. So she's like in her early
40s. I don't even think she's a mother. I think she's just in her 40s.
I think she is because she brings her daughter to a Coachella style concert and then she sort of like locks eyes with
the guy. I can't remember what his name is in the thing, but he's like a
August,
pop star.
No, he's in the band August Moon. Yeah. And then, which is anyway, supposedly they fall in love, but she's got this child. I was thinking, if my mum took me to Harry Styles concert and then she got with Harry Styles.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
I'd be fuming.
Yeah, I think it's like they like meet accidentally backstage or something. Okay. And then they like have this whirlwind romance and it's like very in the press and it's very like they go off on holiday and like it's very much like Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles. I think I want that. I feel like that's the
but
vibe.
The way it's shot, I feel like it is going to be really good.
Yeah,
we need a cinema group chat.
I know.
Coming
films.
Up.
I know, but I feel like I'm really loving the like return of rom com vibes. Yeah. I don't know how funny this one's gonna. I don't know if it's
doesn't
rom-com.
No, it is giving rom com.
Is it okay? Cool.
Yeah.
But I love I watched that Anyone But You, which I know we've spoken about loads.
Like
but
I really
haven't
watched
it.
Yet,
but
I watched it for the first time.
That's Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
Oh my God, I loved
it. Oh yes, I haven't seen it.
Such a good film.
You'd like it.
Yeah, it's good.
Like it just was an easy watch.
I feel like it looks like classic rom-com
classic.
When they were like really good.
Like it's one of those ones where like some bits you're just like, this is so stupid, like obviously we're gonna get together on it. But like at the same time it's just you just watch it.
And it brought back Natasha Bedingfield.
Yes.
And she was number one for like 2 weeks of that
and
film.
She performed, didn't she? Did she perform at the Brits?
Did she?
No, she did not.
Where did she just perform? Some award show and I was like, she's
at the blank page before.
Oh, I'm whispering. I know it's well good. I don't know, but that's cool that she performed.
Mm, she's been making comeback.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I really love that song.
I did wonder why everyone was obsessed with her again. Then I watched the film and I was like, right, yeah,
there it is.
Got it.
Miu show.
Yes, the Miu Miu show was so good. Have you guys seen it?
Spring Summer 24 in Paris.
No. I don't know if I've seen it, but potentially have
You'd
seen some clips, I think.
It's so good.
I was loving they were all walking down the runway with big handbags that were like stuffed.
Well,
the
that
brim.
Is just all, like the whole of Paris Fashion Week, every brand was doing that huge handheld bags. Like it's
but
such a trend.
But everything was stuffed in it, which kind of represents my exact
vibes. Yeah, the vibes.
It was quite preppy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very. It was just what very Miu Miu. I loved it. I loved the like necktie situations. Lil Sims was walking in it.
Lil Sims was walking.
Like, really? It was just
who
a really
else
cool
was
show.
Walking? Some other really cool people. Kristen Scott Thomas and Gigi Hadid were walking.
Oh yes, Gigi. She wore that big fur coat, and they did a like behind the scenes video at the show, being like, "What's your name?" and like, "Who? What's your favorite look?" And every single person said mine, obviously, and literally every single like they did 10 people, and they were all like, "Hi, I'm Gigi Hadid," and obviously mine's like my favorite look. And I was like, "Is this planned? It must have been planned, but it didn't feel like it was.
Really?
Yeah, it was good though. But yeah, sick show." Like, really, I feel like Miu Miu is one of those brands that, like, for Gen Z especially, they just nail it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, like, so, I don't know how to describe it. It's just, like, preppy, but it's quite cool, and it's not, like, it's the same every time. Like, they really know what they're doing in terms of, like, their signature look. Yeah. But it's, like, so fun and fresh.
So cool. And Sydney Sweeney, did you see her in the little Miu Miu?
Yes.
Little
I saw that.
Yeah. Really cool. Really
but,
cool.
Like, it's also, like, I was in Zara the other day, and I saw the little, like, they've done a little skirt. Mm-hmm. So it's all over the heart. You can do it affordably these days. Yeah.
I mean, I can't afford that Miu Miu price.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. A girl can dream.
Yeah. So there's a trend we've seen on TikTok. Well, it's not really a trend. It was basically, like, a video someone's done, and we were like, this is so true, because we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, basically, she was like, "Your friendship that it's either you copy or you twin."
I saw this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, and it's like, this is the kind of friendship where we go, "Oh my god, we match." Not, "Oh my god, she's copied me."
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, "That is so true."
She's so the vibe, and so I think that's one of my like pet peeves in life.
Yeah,
is when someone is like quite protective over like their things and like their like what they're wearing. If like I am so that person, I think we all are, where it's like, "Oh my god, I love your thing. Like, where's it from?" And then you're like, "Get it. It's from here. Yeah. I bought it the other day." Oh, like,
wear mine.
Sure.
Like, I buy one for them.
Yeah,
I'm like, I just bought this because I love it so much. And I think
when we were growing up and we were at school and we were kids, that was quite, copying was quite a thing, because everyone, you were discovering who you were. It was very much follow the crowd. And I feel like now it shouldn't be taken as a negative. No. Ultimately, someone, you know, they're inspired by you.
Yeah.
And it's like the biggest, everyone always says to me, like, it's the biggest form of flattery.
Exactly. Definitely.
Like, people, it's like the biggest compliment if people like start matching.
Yeah. But ultimately it's your personality, your vibe, your aura is what makes you unique. So
exactly. It doesn't matter if someone's wearing the same outfit.
Exactly,
as you.
Because ultimately it's your personality that makes you and you know.
Yeah, I swear the other day we were shooting something and we wore the exact same outfit. And we look completely different because like we're two different people. We style it differently. Like there's so many, I think as friends, like you just can't be so protective over things like that. Like, share. It's also more sustainable. Like, share.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'd never thought of it until I saw this.
Yeah.
When she says, yeah, copying rather than twinning. Or
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah,
yeah. I just think it's nice. It's a nice thing to push out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to do a bit of careers chat now, because we actually did a TikTok the other day, which got a lot of comments. I think people are really interested to hear, like, a deeper dive of careers and like how people got to where they are, and I think you guys are obviously so good to talk about that, and each of us obviously have such a different path, and like what we do is so different, obviously with you and content creation and you as well, but entrepreneurship, social media, like journalism, I think we all have something different to talk about. So
Juti, how did you start? What's been your career path since school, really?
Since school, okay, I'm gonna skip to maybe
interests,
like,
or I guess,
yeah, so I say at school level is maybe like very, very sporty. When it was coming to deciding whether I was going to go to university or not, I was actually leaning towards not going. Mm-hmm. And then my mum was basically like, look, I really think you should go, like, just for the experience, like, at a minimum, like, just go for that. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to go to uni, I'm certainly not going to make it hard if I'm going for the experience. So I thought I picked, so initially I think I wanted to do like international relations. Mm-hmm. Then I changed and I was like, I'm going to do events management. Like, nice. I feel like I'm going to be good at that. Went to Bournemouth Uni. I actually really loved my course, if I'm being honest. And I actually think at the time, people would kind of be like, oh, you just went to uni for like party planning or something like that. But to be honest, it's got very transferable skills. Like, it is actually a degree.
Oh, yeah.
Like, coming out of it, it's very, not easy to get a job, but you can go into like marketing, advertising. You do cover finance a little bit. Yeah, yeah. And then like,
it's transferable.
PR, it is super transferable. So,
but also life skills too.
Oh, for sure. Like anything at uni, I feel like you just
and it's super sociable. Like, I think with that course, you have to be able to network to a degree. So like sales skills you learn. So everybody on my course was super sociable. So that was really nice. So I finished uni and then I more or less went into corporate events. So I did stick to kind of within it, events marketing, events sales. So I think I worked at Hilton for a year in the head office, and that was event sales. And then I went into Oh, it was very random. I did like events marketing for like an like oil and gas conferences. So yeah, super random. Did that for another year and a half, maybe. And then that's when I decided to quit. And it was more just, I wasn't really vibing with maybe management at the time. And I just
thought, did you have like a creativity itch you wanted to spark?
Yeah, I think at that point I'd already, before I'd got the job in oil and gas conferences, I had started my Instagram page with a friend. So we were doing it together and it was very focused on kind of like the brunch scene in London. So I'd already had that built up. Obviously, that's a really good skill if you're going into marketing anyway. So like within the interview, we were all kind of talking about that. And even within the job, although like very not my vibe, you are really creative. Like you're making like all these documents. That's when I like discovered my love for Canva, like obsessed with it. Obsessed with Canva. And then
if you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I think when I left that, it was obviously because I wasn't really like enjoying like the kind of management structure. My parents then had a Thai restaurant and they like needed staff. And I thought, you know what? I can do this on the side, see how this goes. The restaurant I have in the evening, it's not really interrupting my day. And then it's just kind of picked up from there where I've ended up just doing this full time now. So I don't know. I think it has kind of tied into what I've learned at uni. I mean, I did my dissertation. Sorry, how weird are dissertations? I was thinking about this the other day. I
can't believe that we actually
like, why was I writing 10,000 words on social media? And also, who cares what I have to say about it?
Imagine everyone that has to read those. Like, someone that but has like, to who, read dissertation yeah, after dissertation. God. And like,
I was thinking about this the other day.
So I actually chose a course where I didn't have to have written
that's
dissertation.
Good. Oh, that's smart.
I chose a practical dissertation, which was creating a documentary. And then we had to do a write-up, but it was only half. It was like I did film and television, so it was very practical. So when I got to the 5,000 words, I was like, thank God I didn't do a full 10,000.
Yeah, honestly.
I can't.
I was like, where even is that? Like, what's that for?
Where's that saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
all those hours. What did it teach me?
Pressure. Yeah. As if I had to do that to pass uni, it's just quite jokes when you think back to it. But yeah, I think it has kind of, I picked events because I knew my personality would do well with it. I have just naturally stayed kind of within that field. Like, even now, it's still kind of like marketing, PR, events wise. So it's definitely skills that I still use today.
And what for you, like when you went full time content creation, what was like the deciding factor there of like, I can do this now? Is it like a financial thing? Was it like, I don't know, like what kind of made you think you could take that step at that time?
To be honest, if I did it again, I would have saved up more money before I'd gone full time because wasn't really loving my job. Then I was like scrimping, like I was not really going out, couldn't really do much for like a good, probably 6 months to the first year. So I think if I did it again, I would probably, if you've got a full-time job and you're thinking about it between the two, I would at least wait until your content creation salary matches your full-time salary at least. So that's something I definitely do differently. But I think that's where it kind of is different. I would say it's probably mostly financial. Like in a normal situation, if I was earning the same as my full-time job, I would probably, once it was not getting manageable to do both, I would probably quit my full-time job and then do
this. How long have you been self-employed for?
I've been self-employed for like, oh God, it's got to be like 5 years now. Yeah. But like I'm doing this full time.
Yeah.
Maybe like 2.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's the thing with freelancing is you can have a really good year and then the next year, for no reason whatsoever, it can be really shit. And like money is very stressful. Like it's the main stress of like most my problems, it's main cause. So that's where you need to be like very, I'd say the first year I was like really bad with money. If I had a good year, I'd like money was going out as fast as it was coming in. So only now have I been a bit more like, okay, let's split this into the 20-30 like pots. But yeah, with freelancing, just that, you need to be prepared for that as well. It's like something you don't really know. Like even like doing your tax, all these things are like...
Yeah. I started a pension the other week.
Yeah, oh,
I was like, I didn't even know I had to do that.
This financial literacy, they call it. They need that at school.
They do. It's really
I'm still learning on the go. Like, I have an amazing accountant and every time he says something to me, I'm like, could you just explain that?
Yeah,
I really don't.
It's just like, why are we learning about trigonometry? Who is that helping? So this is what we should be learning.
Yeah. But Bronte, what have your for those listening? How did Girls Who come about? You've now got a database of how many?
I think all together under the whole like Girls Who umbrella, I'd say like 800,000.
Incredible!
Wow. Thank you.
Incredible. So just talk us through the journey because I remember you touching on it previously on a podcast, but we'd love to go into depth a bit more.
So I went to Reading University and I studied film and television. I hated the first year. I literally like was so homesick, cried so much, wanted to go home, literally went home probably every 2 weeks.
I can relate.
Yeah. And I just felt so like uncool because it was meant to be like the best time of your life. And like, I was just calling my parents being like, can I come home? And like booking train tickets so I'd know I have home to go to and like look forward to it. But then I like pushed through it and like second and third year, I absolutely loved it. I would say like were the best years of my life, like living with 5 girls, having the best time. And then the day I left university, I started Girls Who Graduate. I started
the day you left.
Literally the day I left. Wow. I was like moving all my stuff home. I remember like my parents taking up my suitcases to my room and sitting on my bed and being like, oh my God, that's it. Like I've literally just been like put in this like tumble dryer of university and then like spat out.
That's
the
a
other
great
end.
Way to
It's suddenly like a whirlwind of like learning how to do like everything by yourself and then, oh, you're back to where you started at home.
Yeah.
So I literally sat on my bed and I called my sister like crying, being like, I need to talk about this. Like, why does no one talk about this feeling of leaving university? Like, it's so overwhelming. I don't have a job. I don't know what I want to do. And I just want to travel and live, but I have no student loan and I have no money. So I started Girls Who Graduate and it was a closed Facebook group. And I basically just said like, guys, is anyone else feeling like this? Like I feel so like alone and confused at like, am I meant to feel like this?
So it started as a bit of a brain dump.
Just like a bit of an emotional, like, please tell me everyone else is feeling like this. And then I had like hundreds of girls reply being like, oh my God, thank God you're saying that. Did some research into it. There was only like one article on it from Cosmopolitan about post-university depression and post-university blues. And I was like, why is no one talking about this? This is such like a big thing. And then it kind of just spiraled from there. I went traveling. I went to Bali, did a meditation retreat.
Wow, love it.
And I stayed out there for a few months and realized that as I was out there, like, there were so many different paths you could take after university that I was so overwhelmed. So I just kept talking about it on Girls Who Graduate, growing that. We kept growing like a bigger like group of girls talking about it. Hosted my first event.
Yeah, so what was the turning? Were you like, I need to get these girls in a room?
Yes, kind of. I was like, I think this needs to be in real life. Like it's such like, everyone's saying that they've like lost friends because everyone's moved to different parts of the country after living at uni together. Everyone just needs like connection and like in-person connection. So I hosted an event, but I think it was like 70 girls in just like this little, I had to like save up for like, when I came back from traveling, I was like, save up for the deposit to put on the event venue. And then I put on this event. And then from there, it kind of just kept growing. And I think people were like realizing, and like companies and brands were realizing that like we had this like group of girls that were all feeling the same, and it was like a community, and they were students and graduates and all of that.
And we can direct them.
And we can help them. And we can. So I started getting support through that. And then we kind of helped with, then we had Girls Who Rent. We started that, which is like helping girls find housemates and all of that. Then we had Girls Who Read, Girls Who Sweat, and Girls Who Date, which was, it kind of like what anyone wanted within the community I kind of made. I was like, if you're talking about dating, I'll make Girls Who Date. If you're talking about sweating, I'll talk about Girls Who Sweat. And then Girls Who Travel came into play, and I think that was like the turning point for me where I could like monetize it and start actually making it my full-time job rather than just like my part-time like thing on the side. And then Girls
Who Travel. But I think that's the way you fostered a community first, that authenticness of it is what's so special to you, because that came about naturally. It wasn't like, I want to set up a business, I want to make money. How can I do that quickest way possible? You created that and then you were able to monetize it and move it.
And I think it helps because it, Girls Who helped me, like, I've made so many friends through it, and I've like had such like an amazing connection with so many girls that I think I never wanted to monetize it because I was like, oh no, this is like a little community. Yeah. Like, I don't want to make
but
this.
But ultimately,
my job.
This is probably taking up your evenings all day. Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? It's
constant.
You know, why not turn your passion into something you can live
on? And I feel like that's so important because even with, you know, if you're a content creator or someone who's starting a small business, I think that is sometimes people go into it with this thought of, I just want it for this. Yeah. I just want to be
involved. Well, I just want to make money. I just want to make money. How can I make money?
Yeah. Or they see like all these communities online now that are like doing really well and they're like, I want to do that because that's doing that. And it's like, I always say to people, like, it has to come from a place of like motivation through like emotion and like experience and like there's a reason why you're
passion.
Doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But though, now Girls Who Travel has become my like full-time like passion because I love traveling. I love being away. I love like sharing experiences with other people and like connecting girls together. And like there is no better connection than like going traveling with a new friend. Yeah. Like,
so your role, I guess it's split across everything really, but what's your role in... You know, everything, you know, the marketing, the design. Yeah, amazing.
Is it just you as well?
So I have like girls from the community that help with like the admin. So like all the Facebook groups have like hundreds of thousands of girls on now. So we have girls helping do all the admin on the Facebook groups. I have one of my best friends who like saw Girls Who Start with me and has like seen it grow. And she like helps me do like the events partnerships and all of that.
Right, because it's a lot. I mean, even you've got the most incredible design on all your all Instagram pages and everything. Yeah, you know, that all takes time.
And you do that yourself, don't you?
That just like, so I have a Girls Who Graduate social media team.
Great.
And they do all of that because like, I just couldn't do all of it. And, and I had advice from, Grace Andrews, Stephen Bartlett's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went for a coffee with her and she was like, look, Bronte, the best advice I can give you is to like outreach and put your money into like outsourcing and like getting people in to help grow Girls Who. And so she said that, I was like, right. And like, I started paying for people to come in and help, and that honestly has helped grow it so much.
Because you can't do it all as much as you're more than capable.
It's, and like a company's called a company because it's a group of people. Yeah, exactly. Like you can't grow a company by yourself. So that really helped getting people in. And like whenever anyone asks for advice, I'm like, as soon as you have the money to use it on like getting people in that have expertise in areas that you
or hire people better than you. You know what I mean?
It's so then I can concentrate on growing Girls Who Travel or focus on the event side or like building the business. So
day to day, what does your day to day, week to week look like?
It depends. So I'm either out hosting a Girls Who Travel trip somewhere in the world, going to Costa Rica tomorrow to host our Girls Who Travel. So either doing that or I'll like have meetings with brands, and we're planning our second careers fair for the end of this year. So that's lots going on there. Creating content for Girls Who Travel, coming up with new event ideas, just basically like finding new ways to keep the community a community and like growing that.
Brilliant. Exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. I love it. It's just like every day I'm just like, it gets better and better every day. I love it. Oh, great.
That's so good.
And I guess sat on the sofa, we're all quite a mix, but sat in a particularly for fashion and editorially, I know people will be listening, you know, being like, you've got the best job ever. How, what are your top tips?
Yeah, I mean, my like uni career, I suppose you could say, it has nothing to do with what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what a lot of people were surprised with when we did that TikTok, where like everyone in that TikTok had not done fashion at uni. So I think that's a really main point, is don't feel like just because you haven't done it educationally that you can't get into it, because actually, and this is what I said on that TikTok, is experience is the most important thing. And I know people get really annoyed about that because it is really hard to get experience, to get internships. Also, it's a huge privilege to be able to do something unpaid. You know, a lot of people can't do that. So my top advice, and what I did as well, was to do it yourself. If you can't do it somewhere else, if you can't get it in a company, do it yourself. I started a blog. I was writing about what I liked in fashion and, you know, stars on the red carpet or like whatever it was. I was like, I can't get an internship with someone else, so I'm gonna do it myself. And then eventually, as you're applying for these internships and jobs, you can show that on your CV rather than being like, I love fashion but I've got nothing to show for it.
So it's almost like a portfolio to go alongside your CV of all your skills.
So if you were a photographer, you'd have a portfolio of photos in the same way you'd have a portfolio of your writing, or, and it doesn't even have to just be writing. People use their Instagrams, and you know, there's that really good page, fashion.com, I think is what it's called. And they basically, it's no photos at all, it's just blue squares, and from every fashion show, from every like, it's literally just text on squares of like, so and so did this at this latest fashion show, the row didn't allow phones, like it's just very like factual. But it's an entire Instagram page just for that page, and like that kind of thing. It's so easy if you're not someone who wants to like pose in an outfit.
Yeah,
that's such a nice way to do it yourself.
Yeah, that's a brilliant other way.
Yeah, that's true.
Formatting your knowledge.
Yeah. 100%. Canva.
Yeah, 100%. Use those tools.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely show your work where you can. The other thing is when you're applying for the jobs, because I've received so many CVs and like emails, the number one thing is people don't actually say like why they want to work there. Like they'll say, I'm really good because of this, this and this, and I've got all this experience and all that, but they don't actually say why they personally would add to being where they are.
That
and why.
Is so surprising. Do you know what
I
mean?
It's so, I know it's crazy.
But I guess otherwise it could have just been a copy and paste job.
Exactly.
Why did you move to that employer?
I used to, which is so bad, when I was like cold emailing people, I did that. I would just copy and paste it. And now receiving it, I realise that people are doing that and it's so obvious.
Yeah.
So like that's another thing, really tailor your cold emails. To
and I would attach a video if you can, particularly.
Yeah.
In
oh, interesting.
I feel like
100%.
I feel like you get, well, I, you know, if you enter a room and you meet someone, you get a vibe straight away. Mm-hmm. And if you are someone that perhaps struggles to process things into a Word document, but you're amazing with people and you're so personable, send them a video.
Yeah. 100%.
And it stands out because you don't get videos from everyone. And then you watch a video and you're like, actually, let's get them in for an
interview.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, I feel like at uni I was told, like, don't put your photo on your CV. I do every single time. And when I started doing it, I got replies quicker because it is like just a personal thing. But like seeing a face, you do then put like what you're seeing there to a person and it does help.
I also think if you're ever doing, I don't know, say you've got a 6 month contract with a firm or a 3 month or an internship or whatever. And I do feel like it shouldn't be a thing now, non-paid internships.
I think it's definitely not
as much.
Most are like good. It's quite rare.
How you end an internship or a short program with a company is just as important as how you start. So, you know, if you've been in contact with multiple people at that firm, send them a farewell email so you're top of the mind, I feel like that's super key.
100%. We actually did a feature on site on our new careers hub, which is called Futures. And it was all about how to like make the best impression you can in an internship. And that was definitely one of the points. It's like when you leave, follow up, say this and that. When you're there, do this and that. Like definitely read that if you want a few more tips on to stand out.
100%. Yeah. Touching on the experience thing as well, I remember that a really appealing thing about my course was... I went to Bournemouth. I can't remember if I said that before, but they're like quite big on like the tourism kind of industry. Mm-hmm. So covering like events, marketing, advertising. And they always did. So my course is a 4-year course, the third year being a placement.
Mm, same.
And I honestly think if there is like, if you have that option, it's so beneficial because the amount of 100%. People that I know doing like 3-year courses, then they come out and then they really struggle to get a job because they don't have that experience. It's like so much like stress relief when you can leave and be like, I've already had like 1 year. So exactly. I did mine in corporate, which is maybe also why I ended up going into more corporate jobs after. But I remember doing 1 year at like Siemens. Do you remember tech company? Mm-hmm. So I worked in like their event space and also it was paid. So it's actually quite nice to like earn money that year as
also,
well.
Also, I think as just in terms of, I don't know if it was just me, but my way I matured, I could have done with an extra year in placement and even... You know, coming back, I think if I had done a year in placement, I think I would have been more mature in my third and final year and probably come with a better mindset for my dissertation.
100%. Because it is just that, like, step into the real world after you've been in uni. Like, I honestly was going to say the same. Like, if you can do one, do one. Because it's just another thing in your CV as well that you can take off all of these skills that you've done physically and, again, you get paid.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's just that when you then leave uni... You can either go back to that place and be like, hey, like I was there for a whole year, this is everything I did. Like, would you take me back for, you know, now that I finished uni? Or just use it to go get somewhere else.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Like, it's such a good thing to do. But Days, obviously you work in social and marketing. What are your tips for anyone who's looking to get into that?
I feel like when I first started, it wasn't as big as it is now. And I feel like most people I speak to, you know, that's social marketing is what they want to go into. My top tip would be to find out what marketing is. It analytical, is it social, is it email, is it, there are so many different types of marketing, and if you can hone in on one that really interests you, then become genned up in that. I feel like the industry changes so much each week, and just being up to date with the industry, I use things like Adweek, Marketing Week, the Later blog is really good, the TikTok Creator Studio is brilliant. Just be, you know, sort of be a sponge and soak up as much information as you can, really.
Yeah. And that actually reminds me, like, a lot of people also say, I really want to work in fashion. And it's like, do you know there are so many things?
Yeah.
You could do design, you could do social, you could do marketing, you could be a journalist, you could be, like, a PR. Like, there are so many things you could do in that. So before you start anything, is think about what you are good at and what you want to get into. Because that's my thing. Like, when I was at uni, I knew I loved fashion, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did business and marketing, thinking I'd go into PR. Then I did PR, and I was like, I like it, but I want to be on the other side of this. And that's how I realised that I really want to be a journalist and go into that side. Yeah. So I do think also know what you want to do, but I think the experiences, even if they're not quite right at the time, they'll teach you what you really want to get into. So yeah. Any other tips for social?
No,
what's something like when you see a CV, you're like, oh, that stands out to me?
I guess I'm looking at just a work ethic as a whole. You know, it's not that you've tailored your CV to the fashion industry or to, you know, the social media industry. It's just whether you have been committed to, you know, a job for a long period of time, you've built up skills across multiple areas of business. Mm-hmm. That to me is what stands out.
Yeah. What I was going to say, especially with social, with marketing, like you were saying, it's like different, but with social, I think people underestimate like how much work it is. Like with social, it is relentless. On top of the fact that it's just constant 24/7, like it's actually mental that you were doing it like by yourself for so long. Like it's so crazy. Whereas obviously if you were going to like what I did before, which was like events marketing, it's not at the same level at all. It's like it takes a certain type of personality to be good at different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I get that when you have to look for someone who is really just like, it has to really be your passion, I think, if you want to do social. Otherwise, it will just eat you up alive, basically.
Yeah. There was a recent article that Gen Zs are the sort of stressors right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that personally, I've got sort of mixed reviews on this. But firstly, I do believe that Gen Zs feel the need, because of the cost of living, to have a side hustle. And there is a pressure to, you know, the average salaries aren't matching the cost of living, so therefore we need to find another way to get income. That leads to extra hours, that leads to burnout, that leads to not being able to switch off, wind down. But I don't know what you guys think about that. I know people say, oh, Gen Zs are lazy.
I've never understood that, because I think that Gen Zs out of all generations are like the ones that are grinding.
But I think some have too many boundaries.
Really?
I don't think some know what good graft. I understand perhaps I just shouldn't have given as much. I don't know.
I know. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's really good that they set their boundaries, because I get it, you are paid to be in this job 9 to 5, and if that's what you want to do, that's also fine. But it's also unrealistic to think that your employer is gonna maybe prioritize you for the next promotion if there is somebody that maybe I'm not saying you should be staying overtime 2 hours every day, because that's a time management thing. Like, that's something you need to fix. But every now and again, like around events, like especially with our jobs, there will be times where you have to do extra hours. And if you are really fixed on those boundaries, that's fair and that's fine. But then you just can't be maybe shocked if other people who are maybe doing a bit of extra overtime to get stuff done, then maybe get promoted a bit faster than you. And I think it's just that.
I think it's a bit of a... Because also this article was saying that, Gen Z are the generation that are getting signed off sick from work the most because of burnout.
Hear the opposite. I hear that we're really lazy, and like if we get asked to do something, we're very quick to say no.
Yes, which I do.
It doesn't fit us.
Yeah.
We're just like, no, it's all right, we're better off. But like, and like we, although I also feel like there's also this show for working overtime and like getting all these achievements working. Yeah. And it's like, take a picture of your laptop at like 9 p.m. on a Friday. I'm like, just go to sleep.
You
know, there are some people that arrive bang on the dot of when work starts, and they leave bang on the dot when they get everything done.
Yeah.
And they are so time efficient, and they don't waste a moment in their day. And great, that's amazing. Yeah. But then there are probably some people that just sit there for the sake of sitting there.
Yeah.
And that is not good.
I think that's the balance. Yeah. I think you can have your boundaries. You can work the hours you're contracted to work, because that's all you're getting paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't do more than that. But then when you're there, make a fucking impression. Like, do it well. Like, show up.
I think Gen Zs have started to... I think... This sort of rep that Gen Zs are getting is because they push back more than millennials ever did.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, cost of living wasn't as much of a thing for the millennials. We value our time. We know that perhaps we could make X amount,
but
doing something else. So it's difficult. But I also think
social media comes into a big play, because you see everyone with these side hustles, these passion projects, all of this, and you're like, oh, I need to be doing that.
Yeah.
So people start doing it and then get burnt out because they're working a full-time job plus trying to balance this. So I don't understand.
Plus trying to run 10 miles before work and get
there.
But then that's why I think older generations see Gen Z as not doing as much, because I think the like pathways are not as linear as they used to be. I think if you're not in a 9-to-5 job, then you're not actually... grind. That's what people think, I think. But actually, being an influencer or being like in music or doing something else, it's still just as like demanding. Like you're, exactly. Yeah. So I think it's also a slightly like false narrative.
I always say this because my partner is also, he freelances, and I know that like at the moment he's at home. So then I know that his dad definitely sometimes feels like he's not like, oh, I'm still working. He's like, what are you even doing? Like, can't understand. Right. But I was like, but he wouldn't think that if you were leaving the house to go to work and then you were coming back at 7 p.m. to them, that would be like, okay, yeah, he's going to work. But because you're like working from home and you're not leaving like one room or the office or whatever, in his head, he's like, okay, yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, they obviously don't take it seriously. Totally. But it's no different. Like, if you were leaving, you'd be doing exactly the same thing in the office. You'd be sitting at a desk. You wouldn't be moved. Like, it's exactly the same.
I think you're right. Social media is probably what has sort of
definitely. But also, I think it's, there's a slightly negative, obviously, there's lots of negative things with this, but one thing is that I think people, because of social media, think that their job has to be their dream job.
And that what you're
doing and what you're showing about your job has to be like, I'm just living my best life, living this amazing like job. Yeah. And it's like, actually, some people can just work to work, to make money. To,
I think the majority of people, I think we're very lucky and we're in very small minority that we wake up every day and we are excited by our jobs and we are passionate. 100%. But you know, you have people that also probably absolutely love the product they're selling, they really believe in it, but then you have, you know, you have a mundane product but the commission might be amazing
and you're living an amazing life and going on great holidays and like whatever, your job you get your money and then you go on a great holiday. I think you don't compare yourself to other people in the sense that like you shouldn't have to feel like your job's the dream job and you've wanted to do it since the day you were born.
Whenever people say like, what career advice would you give, I'm like, you're not put on this earth to find your dream job. Society has like made us think that like we all have to find this dream job and like, What's your dream job? Like when you come out of uni, it's like,
but there isn't a dream job because we wouldn't be in a job if it. No. You know what I mean?
And I just feel like it's like, don't feel the like society pressure of finding this dream job. Like, like you said, you can literally go to a job, have an amazing, like enjoy it, but it's not, might not be your dream job and go on these amazing holidays, have these amazing time off. Like, it doesn't have to be like this dream career. Exactly. And you don't have to feel like a pressure. Like, I feel like my friends are always like, I don't know what my dream job is. Like,
that's okay.
Ask, and I'm like, I don't actually know. So I think that's like a big thing.
Yeah.
That you don't, you're not put on the surface to find that.
Well, that was good chat. I feel like we could go on about that for a while. But yeah, we'll have to do another round of this another time. But before we go, we're going to do a very quick fire products and things we're loving. Girls, what are you loving right now?
Guys, I'm obsessed with bubble skirts. Have you seen them? Okay. I've seen them everywhere and I've gone into every shop and they're everywhere. I just got a really cute one from Stradivarius. Really, like, I think it was like $9.99.
What colour?
Love that. White. Okay. And just with like a baggy jumper and chunky boots. I'm waiting for it to get a bit warmer. But I just love them. I think they're just so cute and girly and like feminine. I love that.
Love.
Really fun. Gigi?
Okay, I'm going to fire through these. So TV shows, just binge The Gentleman on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, I'm three episodes in.
Really good. Basically same vibe, Kin on BBC. Loving my little like drug lord gangster vibes at the moment. Both of those are really good. I haven't finished season two of Kin. Restaurants. I really love Chuck's. I don't know when this is going out, so they're only here for 2 weeks, so it might not still be there. Or Yeye's, which is like noodles and dumplings in Spitalfields area. You know, in Spitalfields, they do those like soup dumplings.
Yeah.
I think these are better. And it's around the corner, but it's very, very good.
I trust your rep.
And then for products, Anthropology are doing really cute scrunchies. My God.
Yeah,
got a leopard print one. And then there's like cute little pink and khaki ones with like bows on the scrunchies. So cute. Very cute.
Yeah.
And then I was gonna say like flats. I'm not a flat girly. I now have three pairs of like Dolly Pump flats. So I got the H&M ones, like the Alaya dupes, and then ASOS have a really cute like studded pair and like a like faux leather or leather pair that I got from there. So they're doing really good dupes. So I'm really glad they are, because if anyone thinks I'm paying £700
pumps.
Painful. What?
Also, in this weather, they get ruined.
That's insane. I thought they were like 200. And I looked them up and I was like, right, okay, ridiculous, so we are all Delulu.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking mental. Who's paying for these? What about you, Des?
I have just watched the Kid Laroi doc on Amazon Prime.
I really want to see that.
Fascinating. He, can I just say, so he's from Australia.
Yeah.
He has achieved more than most people have achieved in as a music career.
He's very young.
By the age of 20. Like, he is so inspiring. He really reminds me of like a mini Post Malone slash future kind of
And he's
prodigy.
Good friends with Justin.
He's good friends with Justin. Justin appeared on the documentary, but also it does make me sad what these young musicians go through. And, you know, I guess he was navigating
transition of teens, mm-hmm. which for a guy is a hard thing anyway, yeah. but being thrusted into limelight and dealing with back-to-back shows and people wanting every single part of you and being pulled in every direction. He also went through a lot of grief in his early teens. He lost two very close friends, which is so sad. So I don't know, it is quite a sad documentary, but also it's sort of transitioned with these like cartoons, which is really cool. I just love it when a documentary is just a bit different like that. So it's really worth a watch. And I just think he has got a huge future ahead of him. Yeah. So that's definitely worth a watch. I'm also loving these Missimer gold everyday earrings. Cute. Satna's wearing the silver, which that's I also so love.
If you're just looking for an everyday hoop that isn't too heavy, loving them.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Satna, what are you loving?
I saw Dune, finally. Dune
2.
Oh my god, on Saturday night. And I really love it. I'm obviously not going to say too much about it because I feel like people probably haven't all seen it yet, but I really, really loved it. I think it kind of made sense of why the first one didn't feel as like it hit, because it was like leading up to this one. And now when you watch this one, so much happens,
yes.
but like in the best way. And the actors are all amazing, the costume, like everything. So yeah, definitely if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. The other thing I'm loving is a new... So I'm like very specific about my hair products. Like very specific, and Davaness is usually like my go-to for everything. I still love them so much, but I've just started trying this L'Oreal's new shampoo. It's like a glycolic acid shampoo. Ooh.
Like a gloss?
Yeah. So good. Obviously super affordable because it's in the drugstore. And yeah, it just makes your hair super shiny.
Your
it
hair smells amazing. Like,
thank you. Glossy. It just feels like so oh my god, honestly, it's so good. Wow. And they have like an actual gloss thing you can put in your hair. So there's a shampoo conditioner, but you can put the gloss in, and there's like a serum. So it's a whole range.
I do trust your recs because you are very specific.
Yeah, I'm very specific. And it just smells so good. And it's sulfate free, which is my number one thing with drugstore shampoos,
because a lot of them have sulfates.
This one doesn't. So yeah, those are my
love. Bash. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, guys, it's been such a fun pod. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
And have an amazing trip in Costa Rica.
Thank you. Yes. I can't wait for sun.
Oh, please.
So jealous.
Yes. Can't wait.
Well, we'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.